Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. We are live in Seattle, Washington on an absolutely spectacular September day here in Seattle. We've had rain much prayed for and wished for over the last 4 months. I know other parts of our beautiful United States are having a little too much rain, but we are grateful for it here in Seattle, and the air is clear and we can breathe clear, clean air again, which is part of the subject of my show today. So welcome. The Practical Intuitive is all about helping us tap our innate healing and intuitive abilities. We all have these abilities. They are not gifts. They are part of incarnating in a body on this amazing planet that we live in. And today, that's the subject of our conversation. I want to talk about energy, and maybe in a different way than I've talked about it before. So my topic today is, what's energy done for you lately? And to really think about what energy means to us, energy healing modalities, what energy is, our experience with it, and how we can work with it, because energy is actually sentient. It can choose how it wants to work with us, and I think that's something that we've lost track of over the centuries, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes with some stories from working with clients and my own work with the planet. But if you would like to call in and chat today about the subject of energy, or have a quick intuitive reading you'd like me to work with you on, just give a call at 202-570-7057. And I know people are shy and don't necessarily want to come on the radio live, and that's fine. You are welcome to email me a question, a comment, a subject you'd like me to talk about on the show, to explore here with the community. I'd be delighted. You can email me at my website, robinfritz.com. That's RobinFritz.com. You can email me at robin@robinfritz.com. And every once in a while, I pull all those questions that come to people, come to my email address, and we talk about them on the show. So please, you're welcome. This is show is for the community, and there is an awful lot to talk about. So before we launch directly into this subject, what has energy done for you lately? Invite you to experience the connection with energy today in a different way than you normally do by connecting with the crystal Fallon. Fallon is a very rare crystal, citrine Lemurian quartz, and even rare beyond that, being an ancient power crystal whose work with the planet and with all the beings on the planet is happening again here in our lifetime. So imagine that you're connecting with Fallon in the way your intuition works most strongly. So you may see pictures, hear him chat with you, feel his energy, or simply know that you're connected in this hour. So just sit back and allow yourself to connect to this rare energy as we talk about how that works. So taking your attention to the top of your head, mind, body, and spirit, just getting refreshed here. Breathing down now from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Just feel the cares of the day washing away, things that are blocking you today wash away. And now as you breathe up from the bottom of your feet, you can invite that healing energy to connect with you. You don't have to invite it into your body. You can just simply be aware of it moving up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head. And as I always say, your crown chakra can be wide open in this hour, and we'll close that down at the end of the hour so you can go about your day and not be lightheaded, which sometimes happens with connection with Fallon. So today's subject, what's energy done for you lately? So we talk about energy. We hear about all the different energy healing modalities. I have some beautiful, wonderful friends who are really involved with energy healing, taking numerous courses, really amazing, lovely people, understanding the different ways that energy works with us and around us. But a lot of people think, well, that's for them and not for me. And the truth of the matter is, that's not true. We are all intuitives, we are all healers, and we can and should all be connecting with energy in a way that helps us be our best. Because here's the thing, we're always connecting with energy anyway, so we might as well make the best of it, right? Make it work for us, help us tap into what that is and means to us in our daily lives. And how can we work with it? How do we understand energy? How can we work with it in our daily lives? So I have some stories to share with you, some I have tapped on in the past, but when you get right down to it, energy is a fascinating subject, and it has changed for our time. But let me tell you a story about how I've met energy in the past. So I am a certified past life regression specialist. That means that in the state of Washington, I'm a licensed hypnotherapist, and that license, I do believe, transfers across to other states where hypnotherapy is a licensed profession. It is not in every state, but it is here. And to practice soul regression hypnotherapy, that became a requirement. But what I love about soul regression hypnotherapy is that we can all tap into our past lives by getting relaxed and balanced and inviting our spiritual team to help us look at a past life. It's not something to do lightly. It's not something to just play around with on a Saturday afternoon. It's a serious endeavor, but what I love about soul regression hypnotherapy is that I can guide my clients to have a connection to a previous lifetime that their soul reveals to them. And when they do this, when they allow themselves to relax and literally basically get into that state that we all get into when we're daydreaming, for example, when people find out how amazing their souls are, what their souls have done in previous lifetimes, what they have learned, it is so remarkable. I see people leaving here energized, literally, enthusiastic about where they're going next in life, having a puzzle piece get resolved. But what is really fascinating to me is people who come and, for example, clients who are curious about energy and what that meant to them in previous lifetimes and how that can affect them now. And some of these people go on to become energy healers, but mostly they're just interested in how we interact with energy every day. And the thing is, we are interacting with energy every day, and we're not doing it the way we did in previous lifetimes. So, for example, when we are regressing someone and they are going back and saying, I want to look at the lifetime where working with energy was a natural daily thing for me. We've had some really amazing experiences. And here's the thing. we will talk to their soul in a previous incarnation, and that incarnation is not surprised. Okay? So these people that we talk to are like you and me, average, everyday people going about their lives in small villages around the world 300, 400, 500, 1,000 years ago. And energy is part of their way of life. It's part of their living and breathing life. It is normal to them. And we'll see them like women in small towns working, just surviving, doing the things that we had to do back then to survive, growing crops, raising kids, working with animals, just trying to survive and contribute to community life. And they're working with energy as a matter-of-fact thing. And they're surprised that in their future incarnations, they are not. And what's fascinating to me is that as an intuitive, I can also join in those conversations. So I've asked questions of these people as we've met them. And what the first thing that always surprises me is that they are not surprised to be talking to their future selves. It's normal to them. It's like, okay, fine. So for them, they're not the analytical, skeptical, maybe over-scienced people who are like we are right now. We have so many amazing things that we can do in the world. I mean, we literally talk to somebody from a little thing that's in your pocket. I mean, those people didn't even know about telephones, let alone that you could walk around with one in your back pocket and talk to anybody in the world. But then again, maybe they didn't have to. But what's fascinating is these people had an everyday relationship with energy, and we do not. And while they may have struggled to survive in a time where, you know, they didn't have grocery stores like we did, but they're happy. They're connected to their community, and they're using energy as a normal daily thing to make their life better, to connect with their community, to just have a more connected life. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to do in our modern culture, and we just can't quite figure out how to do that. And so part of my purpose in chatting about it today is to look at that, to think about that. And I thought about this a lot. How did energy become something that we're not aware of? And why in the past was it so easy for everyone to simply connect with their intuition and with energy and allow themselves to contribute to their communities by how they used it? Now, obviously, there are some people that can work with energy in a more enhanced way than other people because that is their particular skill set. But every single one of us, by virtue of being born here on the planet, by virtue of being a soul, can work with energy. And I think we need to, in our culture, start looking at it as a normal, everyday occurrence, as something that is there to support us, and then learning how to work with us. Because we are actually working with energy every day as we get up and go about our day. So we might as well learn how to work with it to enhance our lives, and therefore, in enhancing our lives, enhancing the lives of others in our community and the world around us, acting as yeast for the culture, so to speak. So that fascinated me. And the matter-of-fact way our ancients worked with energy, and even not that far back, one of them was only 300 years ago, and kind of looking at us like, you don't know what energy is? You don't know how to do this? Look, let me show you. And just it's like, oh my gosh, it's just like you walk over and turn on the TV, right? You don't even do that anymore, right? You point a remote at it, but it's amazing. So I became curious about energy back in 2007. I had, had experiences working as an animal communicator, working in working with weather and land systems since my dog got us out of the house 2 minutes ahead of a major earthquake in 2001. So I became more and more curious about what energy was and how it worked. So I took Reiki because I knew the person who was teaching Reiki, a Reiki master. And I was curious, and I thought taking a structured course on energy would help me understand where energy came from and how to work with it. And it did, but not in the way that I was thinking. So in wanting to learn about energy, I was curious about where energy came from, you know, what's going on there. And I did learn about it, but it took a while because I was working with energy with my animal family and using Reiki. I guess technically I'm a level 3 Reiki practitioner. I did not want to become a Reiki master, which is, I guess, what you need to do to in order to legally, and I'm putting quotes around that, legally teach people how to use Reiki or to practice. Anyway, so there are all kinds of energy healing systems out there. A dear friend of mine is a natural healing force practitioner. I should learn this specific way that she describes it. A lot of coursework in the different energy systems out there, and it really in some ways follows the idea of Reiki. Okay, so in looking at Reiki and looking at energy, what is Reiki? It's Japanese witchcraft, plain and simple. And I call it witchcraft not as a criticism, but as a system of working with energy, which is inherent in witchcraft, as we know from the European tradition, is just the same as it is with the shamanic tradition in different parts of the world. I know people who are shamanic practitioners because they didn't like the use of the word witchcraft, and of course it's hard to blame them based on what we know about the persecutions in Europe. When we come back after the break, I'm going to talk about symbols, symbology, and stories. Hang on.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom! Everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, you know, your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about what's energy done for you lately. So, okay, back in 2007, I did the Reiki program, learned, it was questioning. I'm like always questioning things. Why do I have to draw these symbols? This is like Japanese symbols. Why do I have to do that? And even today, people doing Reiki will use symbols, but the symbols aren't necessary. And this is where people need to understand under working with energy. In fact, when I questioned it during the first Reiki class I took, the teacher went back and looked it up because her spiritual team woke her up in the middle of the night and pointed out the place in her Reiki manuals to answer my question. Because everybody knows I'm kind of a jerk to deal with in the astral plane sometimes. I admit I ask too many questions maybe. But the answer was you don't need symbols. And so then why did they create symbols? Well, it's the same way in any kind of energy system that people are teaching these days. We need a way to keep our bodies occupied while we're working with whatever we're working with. So if you want to work with energy, they use these specific symbols in this particular way. And it was really just to help us focus our brains on the process that we were working on at that point. So you can work with energy any way you want, right? And if you want to be certified as an energy practitioner, you can take a number of classes in a number of different modalities. And they're all awesome. Find one that works for you if you really want to go into that in depth. But the truth is, every single one of us can work with energy and improve our lives because we're born to do that. And because energy is in everything in us, our space, our homes, our businesses. So working with energy should be a natural thing. And that's what the previous incarnations of my clients and past life regressions were learning. It's natural. And our ancestors are looking at us going, what happened to you people? How did you forget this? How did you lose this? Well, we can talk all along about the Industrial Revolution and the emergence of science. And I love science and I love scientists. But we need to start, quit dividing things up into little categories and start looking at our participation in the world as a holistic thing, meaning including so many different things, so that we begin to tap back into that normal connection with the world around us that our ancestors had that we have lost. Maybe because we're just so busy in our modern days and all going in different directions or whatever. So in doing Reiki training, one of the things that the teacher did was put us all in one room while she changed the energy in another room. Literally forced the energy to change. This is what I call manipulation of energy. And I was dumbfounded, like, why would you do that? Just to show people so that you could feel moving your hand from one room to the other, you could feel the difference in the environment, assuming, of course, that your intuition allowed you to focus that way in experiencing feelings or sensations. But you could feel the difference. You could communicate with the difference. And I was horrified because my approach to the world is different. So I asked the space itself where this person lived and taught, why are you going along with this? Are you okay? Is this helping you or hurting you that your space is manipulated like this on a regular basis as a teaching tool? And the space's response was, this is what this person needed to teach people what they were doing, but the space readily admitted that it was trying to cooperate with her, but it was exhausted. It was exhausted from the forcing the energy to do the bidding of the human that was doing the forcing. And so what was the end result of that? The building got tired and basically gave up, and the person was forced to move. And you could say, well, forced to move because it was renting and the landlord wanted this and that and the other thing. But the building was very clear to me in my conversation with it that it was worn out and exhausted. So it made me start to think about the difference between manipulation and cooperation with energy and what that does for us and how we can work with it. So, as I was working with my animal family and using Reiki and beginning to understand it, I was noticing that my animals didn't like Reiki, that they would like flinch away. And I'm like, this is puzzling. Because I paid to learn Reiki and my kids don't like it. So, what does that mean? And watching how they reacted. So, clearly, there was working with energy, and you could say, well, yes, manipulating, but also, what is that? What is that going on? And so finally, my dog Murphy, and she was born in 98, died in 2012, my first Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. She was stretched out on the bed, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, let's practice some energy healing. And she was just not accepting it. It wasn't so much that she didn't want it was that she didn't want that. And so I call it Reiki, what I was doing. And so I thought, okay, let's try something else. So I said, is there a form of energy in the universe? You have to be so very careful about how you ask questions because you can end up making things worse. So I'm thinking, okay, is there a form of energy in the universe that my kids would accept that would be beneficial to them, that my energy system would accept and be beneficial to me, that my home where I lived and the neighborhood that we lived in, that it would all be beneficial and not cause harm and not be rejected? Is there some energy in the universe that's like that? And then I saw it coming towards us from what I'd have to say, deep space, and it was spiraling. And I thought, well, that looks like the pictures I've seen of DNA. And it was spiraling, and it was multicolored, and it was coming from out there. And I watched as I sat there with Murphy, and I was holding my hands over her, but I realized I wasn't having anything to do with it. This energy was coming as a direct result of a request. And I could see it with Murphy, and Murphy's like, yes, I accept you. And it just went right into her, and she just literally stretched out and is this big sigh of relaxation. And I could see this energy just filling her up, working with her and with Murphy cooperating with it. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like, what is this? And so my spiritual team said to me, this is what you asked for. This is a new form of old energy. It came at your request. Use it to heal yourself and your family as they agree to it. And when it's ready, take it out into the world. And I thought, no way am I an energy healer. I'm not taking anything out into the world. So I took that with a huge skeptical approach. But the truth of it is, I started working with it, and my kids working with it, and I could see how amazing it was. And how easy it was to work with, and how natural it was. And so it came as a spark that looked at DNA. But as I looked at it expanding around the world and it showing me what it was, I saw that its energy is in a spiral. Energy comes as a spiral. And that spiral, that is this ancient energy, which I now call the DNA of the universe, and I call it alchemical energy, is actually in all things as a spiral. So we see it in the spiral of the planet. We see it in the spiral of a hurricane, as anyone around the world who's watched the images of Hurricane Florence last week, and any hurricane around the planet right now, also called typhoons in the Pacific. It's in the spiral of the tree rings. It's in the spiral in our bodies, how blood circulates through our system. It's even in earthquake, scientists will someday be able to understand that energy of an earthquake is in a spiral, in the form of a spiral. I don't know why. It's just the way it is. Sometimes I ask too many questions and I just get myself confused. So I'm just like, okay, energy in the form of a spiral. What does it mean exactly? Well, this energy is sentient. It is aware. It is alive, and it has always been alive, okay? So the form of energy that is here now arrived around 2007. There are other people on the planet who noticed that arrival, like I did. So I'm not saying that I'm the only one that asked for it. I just happened to ask for it, and it showed up here. But it had been showing up in other places as well. Other people had noticed it. Other people were doing it. So what is it exactly? Well, it's energy that has changed for our time. So it's multidimensional. So working with it, extremely powerful and in many ways can knock you off balance. So there were a number of years I didn't talk about it at all. I worked with it a little bit. I kept trying to give it away to people who called themselves energy practitioners. But because I said, you can just take it and work with it, they didn't trust it or me because there wasn't a formalized system with it. Well, you only need like 5 minutes to learn how to work with it. You can all learn about working with it right here in the show today because it's that simple. But because it's multidimensional, you have to be able to straddle the differences of time and space, so past, present, and future, which is why doing past life regressions and my intuitive work, I'm no longer surprised when I see people from different time periods or so on showing up and having conversations with them. Because they're not surprised, right? We're the only ones that are surprised because we didn't know this was possible because somehow during the growth of our modern civilization over the last 300 years, we forgot a lot of things that are basic to our daily lives. And working with energy is one of them. The difference is when people started creating energy healing systems, they started manipulating energy, forcing it to do this or that so that things would fly across the room or they could change the density of energy in one space or another. But what happens? You're forcing it, you're manipulating it, you're forcing it to do your will instead of cooperating with it. And that means that you're, because you're forcing energy to do things, it doesn't always work like we would want it to work. So people are saying, well, I don't feel like the energy healing worked, or I feel like it did, but I'm not feeling quite like I thought. Or they're feeling great because people who have learned some of these energy healing systems are starting to realize that it's cooperating with the energy. It's inviting it to work with us and inviting ourselves, our souls, to understand what it can do with us. So let me tell you another story about that so that you can understand what I'm trying to say here. And I have touched on this before, but this is a very important subject, if you will, or topic or whatever. So as I started working as a professional intuitive and spiritual consultant, and my dad showed up, and my dad died in 1994, and he asked me to be a medium, and I'm like, whatever, I'm not really interested, Dad, love you, but, you know, not interested in getting name, rank, and serial numbers for people who, you know, as wasn't my thing. But that also wasn't what Dad was asking me to do. What he was, first of all, he was telling me, as a medium, Robin, there are many people who are grieving. As a medium, you can see that. From my perspective in the afterlife, what I can see is lines, energy lines, connecting the living and the dead. And there's so much grief. There's so much loss. He said, so you can help them by talking with them. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And he goes, and you don't have to go looking for them. Just tell me who you want to talk to and I'll go get them and bring them back. So that's how I do mediumship, talking with people. But the other part of that was learning about what my dad was really getting at was the number of the dead who have not made it to the afterlife, what I call the stuck dead. Now, there are a lot of people out there that will tell you that they don't exist, but they do. And there are billions of them throughout history. And they didn't die just last week. Some of them died eons ago, and they're still stuck and not in the afterlife. So the more my dad pointed that out to me, the more that I noticed the stuck dead, and the more that I noticed something else, a block on the planet. And it's like a big, huge belt around the planet, and it's keeping all of us from being the very best that we can be. And I was looking at that going, my goodness gracious, what is that? And it's the energy of the stuck dead, and it's blocked and it can't go anywhere. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. I need to think about this. So with my dad, with a dear friend who's still in a body on this planet, with my animals who have stepped into that work and that's why they're here with me, we started looking at the stuck dead and what we could do about it. And when I started looking at the stuck dead, I'm like, oh my God, this would take lifetimes to help all of these people move to the afterlife. And I don't want to be doing this for lifetimes, and I want everything to happen really fast. Boom, 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 boom. So let's not move 5 or 10 or 20 people over at once. Let's help hundreds of thousands of the dead move over at once. Not forcing them, but simply asking who is ready to go and who wants to go. Who wants to go and who is ready to go? That was a mistake that I made that I cover in my upcoming book, The Afterlife is a Party, which will be out from Hampton Roads next September, a year from now. But here's the thing. When I started looking at all these stuck dead, I'm like, oh my goodness, there's something really amazing going on here. So we're at a break. After the break, I will tell you what I learned about stuck energy and how that can make a difference in your life today. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about what's energy done for you lately. So let's find out what energy is doing for you. So here's the thing. I was working with my dad. He's like telling me about the stuck dad, and I'm like, oh my God, really? Like, why can't I have an easy job? But when I started realizing how many of the stuck dead there were, I suddenly, you know, and I'd been working, you know, we'd been moving 15, helping 15, 20, 100 move. I was just like, oh my God, lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes to get help all these people move to the afterlife. I suddenly stopped in the process, and I'm starting to see connections, see how it could work. And out of that scene, you know, pausing while my dad and his fellow way station managers in the afterlife are waiting on me, my friend that I work with is waiting on me, the animals that are participating with us, all of the different beings who are there participating with us, including the dead, and I'm looking at this and going, wait, I see something. So I created this process, long and involved, of helping hundreds of thousands of the dead move on at once. And when we did this first major move and my guys were backing me up, I go, let's do a million. They go, like, no, Robin, that's too many for your first time. I'm like, oh, come on. Well, half a million. But well, we ended up with like 100,000 for the first one, which was smart of them because we had to learn to figure out how the energy was working. And that's what today we're talking about. How is the energy working? How is that affecting us? So when I was figuring that out and we did this move, this first big move, this goddess that I work with said, this is what you and Fallon did eons ago and no one's been doing it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, really? Like, really? We helped the people who were stuck move to the afterlife? Well, and then I heard from other people that I've met who were saying the same thing. So I'm not the only one aware of this, that we used to be able to do things on the planet that we're no longer doing, and we're beginning to tap back into those kinds of things. So ours is a very dynamic age of relearning ancient wisdom, if you will, that our ancestors knew about, that we in our previous incarnations knew about. So what happened after several times of moving large numbers or helping, I'm not saying moving because we didn't force them, we helped them move to the afterlife. After several of those sessions and being very aware of this huge energy block on the planet. Now, imagine, if you will, that you're going out, you're going about your day, you're going to work, you're coming home, but there's this weight on you that's, and working through this weight is moving through an obstacle that's keeping you from being your best, from doing your best. Maybe keeping us from creating all kinds of things that are going to benefit our families, our communities, and the planet. And we're not doing those things. And why? Because of this energy block. And when the dead move on to the afterlife, and this is just one example, but when the dead move on to the afterlife, that energy that was connected to them in that in-between place is left behind. So one day, all of a sudden, I turn and I look, and here's this gigantic piece of energy. And we had just moved a massive number of the dead to move to the afterlife. And I'm looking at this piece of energy and it's looking at me and I'm like, oh, hello. Cause I'm like, what now? And it said, well, I'm freed up energy. I could be used for something. And I said, really? And it said, yes. Here I am. I'm ready to do something. And when I get used for something, then I'll move on to something else. And so it gets transformed, just like our souls get transformed in new incarnations. Our bodies get transformed as we grow older. So whatever, the energy is looking at me and I'm like, okay, really? And I am a person who believes in cooperation, not manipulation. And that's why this energy showed up in the first place. I was asking for energy in a different form. Not that we force energy to heal, but that we cooperate with it. That it is sentient like we are. It has a job to do. It is a massive, huge job. And if you play with energy and you don't know what you're doing, you could get hurt really bad because you're not paying attention. So you have to be careful. Because energy is extremely powerful. And that's why when I work with really large systems that are non-human, I have to be careful to stay grounded and balanced in my body because our physical bodies aren't as large as a volcano body. So you've got to work with energy as it comes with you, to you, for you, whatever. So looking at this energy, I'm like, okay. So it said, well, where in the world do you think I could work? And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Let me think about it. And right at that moment, and this was 2013, I believe, there was a major fire approaching the ancient sequoias in Yosemite. And I believe I've told this story before on the radio, but I want to talk again about it because it'll give you an idea of energy for you. So here... the ancient sequoias were in danger of being burned up in California through this wildfire season, and it had been very much in the news. And so I thought, okay. So I says, ancient sequoias, hello, my name's Robin, and look, here's this huge block of energy, and it's waiting to be used somehow. So introducing the two of you, ancient energy and ancient sequoias, would you like to work together? And the sequoia said, yes, of course. And I'm saying, okay, go for it. Go for it. Do whatever you do. As, oh my God, how would I know what they should do, right? And I knew that if I decided what they should do, it would not be what they would decide on their own to do together. So I said, go for it, right? Also, because I freely admit I'm lazy, and if I can have other things, just go ahead and do their thing, and that's what we should be doing anyway, then that's one less thing for me to do, and it would be done right, because the ancient energy and the sequoias would know what they could do together, right? Not like we would know. But I was really curious, so a day or so later, I chimed in, and I said, hey, ancient sequoias, it's me. So what did you do with the ancient energy block? And they said, we called in cold air to put out the fire. And I'm like, oh my God, that's magic. And it is. And so that's what I want you to think about today. What has energy done for you lately? Energy is really our idea of magic, is really energy. And it's learning to work with it, not by forcing it, as that person did, and changing the energy of the room, and not by insisting that it do what you want, but by inviting it to cooperate with you. This is the form of space clearing that I do, where it's not going out and forcing a space to change, but saying, hey, what's going on here, space? What's your issue? What can we help you with? How can we help you? And how can you help yourself? And then inviting alchemical energy, this energy that is sentient, that knows what it does, that is ancient. It's the ancient DNA of the universe. It knows more than any human could possibly know about how to create a healthy planet, how to keep a planet, the solar system, the universe, healthy and functioning well. So how can you use that? Well, you may not have signed up for some of the work that I'm doing on the planet, and that is fine, because we all came here to sign up to do whatever it is that we're doing. And Well, that may be something we're not even aware of on one level. There's one thing we're all aware of, and that's to make our way in the world, to do whatever it is to grow our souls, to be the best that we can be, to create happy, functioning families, to contribute to the workplace environment, to leavening agent to the yeast of civilization, to do our little bit about making the world a better place because we're cooperating with it and not forcing it to do what we want. And so what could you be doing with that? You could maybe find a new natural, non-toxic way to create clean water for the planet, green energy that can help us live better lives without damaging the planet. What could you be doing? What is it that you're interested in? And how could you just simply say, how can energy support me as I'm writing about this new scientific advancement that I'm looking at? How could it help me tutor this child? How could it help me help my animal family recover from an illness? How can energy help me be my best self? And you don't have to be limited. Let your imagination soar, because energy is there to support you. Invite it to support you. Don't force it to do what you want, because really what we want, you know, doesn't it change on a daily basis? And I'm not saying what we want is good or bad for us. I'm saying when you're inviting energy to work with you, it's a different thing than saying, I want my space to be clear. I'm going to force the energy around the space. Do you know how many space clearings I do to clean up the damage from other people thinking they're doing space clearing? Go in into your space and light a candle or say, hey, space, let's clear together. How can you, what do you need from me? And invite that energy to come in and support you in that, because it's truly amazing what this energy can do. Now, it is the energy that came in 2007 to my animal family is here and available for everyone to work with. But like I said, it is multidimensional. So if you're not ready for that, and a lot of people are not, it's not a reflection on you or anything else. It's simply where each of us is in our particular growth pattern, either in this lifetime or coming up in other lifetimes. But this energy is very powerful on a very basic elemental basis. You can say, can you cooperate with me so that I can do this? How can I do this? How can you support me? How can I support energy? And you can do this every single day. And that's why I say we're all naturally intuitives. We're all naturally healers. What has energy done for you lately? What have you asked it to do for you lately? What have you been willing to do to cooperate with energy to make your life better, to make your family's lives better, to contribute to the world around you? And invite it to work with you, because it's there. It's waiting. It's like that big energy block that was freed up, and it's looking at me like I could be used for something and asking me to help it find something that it could work with. Well, it was so huge that that was a planetary intervention there. But our daily interventions are just as important to us. So think about what energy can do for you and how you can cooperate with it by inviting it to be that easy connection that we can all do. Like I say at the end of each show, when you cross your hands on your heart and invite that energy to come in. And it, when you're working with other people, you're not forcing energy into them. You're not forcing energy into your animal family or your children or your home. You're inviting it to cooperate. And you can feel the difference in that just as I'm talking. Feel the difference of cooperation versus force. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. Coming up in the coming weeks, we have a number of guests with books that we're going to be talking about. I've had a number of questions more again on animals and reincarnation. So we'll be talking about that next week. We have a ton of things that we're going to be talking about. So join me each week here at The Practical Intuitive. You can also join me on Facebook most Mondays at the Humanity Healing page at 11 Pacific time, where we share stories and energy healing and working and intuition. But here's the thing. Remember that we are all intuitives. We are all healers, and we can help ourselves. And if I can help you, please let me know. As an intuitive and spiritual consultant, I offer personal and business intuition, mediumship, animal communication, space clearing that I call space cooperating, past life and between life regression, a healing process I call soul progression clearing that help remove blocks and fill you up with healthy energy. And it's all to help us all be the best that we can be. So if you have questions, comments, please email me at robin@robinfritz.com. Think about how you can cooperate with energy in your life. You will be even more magnificent than you are now. And who knows what you will be contributing to the world. We all came here to do something. So find it. Do it. Make energy and your energy system a natural thing for you, and let me know how that works. Cross your hands on your heart, breathe into the palms of your hands, imagine energy in the palms of your hands, take a deep breath, feel that energy go out, and be the best that you can be. Let me know what questions you have. Email me at robin@robinfritz.com, or check out my online appointment schedule at my website. Thank you for joining me, and we'll be in touch next week. Take care and goodbye.